In my career, I've done as much as I can do to connect the talent conundrum with inclusion and all of that with success of businesses. And I think this is probably the most important thing that I want to share today. And as I take you through this journey of what I've done within my career to connect as many people as possible and to build a community where we understand that the success for businesses actually filters down into the success for each individual. And my background is that I've worked in recruitment now 19 years, and over all those years I've been able to understand what is truly successful within businesses and what are the real reasons why people leave. So the wonderful thing about my job and my role as a recruiter is that I've had access to people telling me the truth. I've never been someone's exit interview, so they can tell me in confidence the real reasons why they've left, what really happened to stop them from succeeding within that business. And these are the things that I have been passionate about turning into action so that people have access to opportunity to progress, fair access to progress within their business, fair access to be recognised, to be promoted, to be paid fairly. And these things are things that I want to turn from I'm passionate about them to I'm active about them. And I think my role as a recruiter and now as building a community is very, very much around how we can all be involved in that and how everybody has the opportunity to progress fairly within businesses. So one of the things that's really, really important is back in 2010, when we started the recruitment agency Harrington Star, we started that business in London. We're now in Belfast and New York, and we have global presence. But one thing that I committed myself to doing was speaking to every female and non-binary candidate that applied through our business. And not only speaking to them about roles they're applying to, but more importantly, what their experience was of the industry. So whenever I come and do a talk like this, this isn't just me saying it. This is me and having listened to thousands and thousands of people within our industry, or those looking to get into our industry and understanding their experience. And this is what I believe I uniquely bring to conversations like this. Because often people after a conversation like this say to me, wow, I felt that way, but I didn't know that other people did. And I think that's really, really powerful. Because often when you're marginalised or you're the minority, you feel so alone. And I think what's so powerful is community and bringing people together and being able to say what your concerns are so that you can move forward and progress. So as I've explained in quite a few words, this is my belief. People are at the core of any business and every opinion counts. And I think that something that is super important that we are seeing now in the trends for the future of work, especially within the world of fintech, is this concept of diversity of thought and innovation being inextricably linked. And the thing is that many, many people within businesses understand that diversity of thought is going to increase innovation. Having people from different backgrounds, different perspectives is going to help ideate, create, have new products that will serve different markets. People understand this. But the reality that I found is that in many businesses, and actually in life in general, us as human beings, we strive for consensus rather than true diversity of thought. There's a wonderful gentleman in the industry called Ritesh Jain. He worked for HSBC for years and he's now started up his own business and truly successful. He taught me the phrase HIPPO, the highest paid person's opinion in the room, right? And I always like to share that because, number one, I think it's funny, you know, like who's the hippo in your room? But when we're talking about people being at the core of any business, the success of the individual markedly affecting the success of the company, when we're talking about 2023 being the year of productivity crisis, engagement crisis, why do we still subscribe to going to one person's opinion? And that's often the highest paid person in the room. Why aren't we working harder to encourage, where are our gaps? Where are the differences in the points of view? And this, to me, is the real crux of inclusion, diversity and its inclusion within our businesses. And this, to me, is something that will be a thread that goes through, I hope, the entirety of your week, especially when you're thinking, what can I do? What can I drive that's different? And you will notice, yes, today is the beginning of International Women's Week, but the way that I will talk through this is for everybody. Anybody who's a minority in the room, any person who feels marginalised, any person who feels overlooked or undervalued. And I think that my research and my work has allowed me to be able to understand that inclusion is about everybody's separate and unique experiences. And this is probably why my podcasts have so many series and so many special series and spin-offs, because inclusion includes everybody and they're each a unique experience. Now, 2023, we all know, was a difficult year. We are starting to see sparks of change and positivity, but we've still got a bit of a hangover of the year. Now, unfortunately, 2023, not just the economic challenges that we faced in our industry, it also meant that we moved backwards when it came to diversity initiatives, inclusion, budgeting towards this. But actually, I want to draw your attention to the wider issue of this. That is that actually we moved backwards in our people policies. And to me, inclusion is the people policy. To me, inclusion is the culture, inclusion is the environment. It allows people to be more engaged and be more productive. And 2023, I heard so many times from businesses and hiring managers, people in positions of power, Nazia, I'll get back to you on inclusion. Right now, we've got to make sure our business is okay. And I always think, how can your business be okay if your people are not? And the interesting thing is that in 2022, we will all recognise that the entire industry were talking about the talent shortage, the war on talent. How do we attract talent? How do we engage them? How do we make sure that we retain them? Because talent was hard to find. In 2023, one of the biggest things that we saw happen were huge cuts across the industry. So there was a power shift. Many businesses, whether they wanted to admit it or not, say it clearly or not, realised it was much, much easier to hire, and they had to make cuts. So this power shifted. This focus on people and investment in people started to look in a different direction. And for me and the work that I do, I'm absolutely convinced that if we don't invest in our people, we can't do that first and foremost thing of investing into our businesses. So when we think about the conversations that we have in meetings and the conversations that we have on the floor or through Zoom or through Teams or with our colleagues, and we look at what's happened for our people policies, for me, my absolute belief is you get your people policies right, you start to affect engagement, you start to affect productivity. You've got a group of people driving in the right direction to push your business forward, despite the challenges in the market and the industry. And in fact, you've got people feeling comfortable and excited to come up with new ideas to handle the challenges. Unfortunately, we didn't see this much across last year. But already, as I said, I'm starting to see moves in the right direction. But for me, this is the tip of the iceberg, because often the lack of confidence in the marginalised communities have left them bearing the brunt of many job losses. So, for example, in the UK, we saw across 2023 a 64% increase in applicants across certain roles, but we saw in some cases 25% decrease in those roles, meaning there's way, way more options for people when they're hiring. And there's options for them not to replace roles that have gone. So with hiring managers having more choice, actually, the interesting thing is that we take steps backwards for potential, for transferable skills, for hiring for tomorrow. And my experience as a recruiter, one of the things I'm super passionate about is, how do we make sure that we are giving people the opportunity to be the best that they can be? And this is why inclusion includes everybody. Because if we're not making our environments the best that they can be for the individuals within it, they can't work to the best that they want to be working. They can't invest themselves to the best that they want to invest. They actually aren't given the opportunity to do so. So when we say that we're taking a step backwards for inclusion, or we're not focusing on that right now, we're focusing on the business, I believe that we're completely missing a trick. And then what happens is that any of the people that were hiring last year, because they had this hugely disproportionate amount of applications, it meant that it was very, very easy for them to go back to the archaic way of hiring, CV matching. And CV matching isn't considering potential, it isn't considering transferable skills, it isn't considering what somebody wants to do next and the longevity of who they will become within your business. And that longevity to me is the bit that's totally connected to engagement. and engagement connected to productivity, and therefore why productivity is super connected to that inclusion piece. There is a problem that we have, a human nature problem. If someone tells us an objection, many of us just try and fix it straight away. So we don't fully listen to the problem. We don't fully listen to the objection. We just start rebutting it. And when it comes to inclusion or the lack of inclusion, this is really, really dangerous. And I've heard it time and time again from people unhappy in their workplaces. They've tried to raise their hand. They've tried to talk to somebody. They've been rebutted and told, oh, well, you shouldn't feel that way. And I think if we can get better with one another by not telling someone how they should feel, but hearing how they feel and thinking about the workplace as an experience, thinking about talent as an experience and how good is that experience. We talk about user experience all the time. Why aren't we talking about the workplace experience and how that's a moving target often, and how safe do people feel to say, I don't agree with you? So this is a really good test. Think about the last time you were talking to anybody within your team. Now, did anyone say, I don't agree with you, and this is why I don't agree with you? And there will be some people that listen to this that think, well, no, I've never had that, and I don't remember having that. And actually, that's a real failing from all of us. We should be, as I said right at the start of this, we should be engaging in healthy debate should we wish to be better and stronger as teams. And if we separate inclusion from engagement and that healthy debate and that innovation, creation, ideation, if we separate it all, then we're doing ourselves and we're doing the whole movement a disservice. And that, to me, is why psychological safety is super, super important. Steps, knowing what steps that you can do are super, super helpful. So, you know, like we often talk about, let's have training, let's make sure that the leaders are involved in that. I gave an example earlier of a leader not being involved in that, undermining a particular policy and then procedure being totally different. The consistent follow-up, the consistency of making people feel safe that this isn't just a tick box, but all of us should talk about the follow-up to trainings. What, like even this conversation, having a chat with someone, what did you think about that? What bits didn't you agree with her on? What bits did you? Isn't that interesting that so many people in the industry have said this and so many others have said that? You know, having that follow-up and just making people feel comfortable to be open about how they feel about the talent experience, the workplace experience, and their engagement within that is super powerful. And many of you will think, oh, well, I've always felt safe. Wait for a second. Have a think about somebody else on your team who may not feel safe answering that. And that's the whole point of this. It's not just about each of us as individuals. It's about us connecting to others. And then, you know, that brave thing of knowing your gaps. Inclusion, I believe, and I know, shouldn't be point 72 of a 50-point agenda. For me, it's about it being a part of everything. And I will always connect inclusion with people feeling safe, people being much more likely to thrive. And when we looked at 2023, plastered across the globe, concerns about engagement, concerns about productivity, and also concerns about, I was truly concerned about, our lack of focus on inclusion. And to me, these are all part of the same thing. Inclusion needs to be mission critical to make sure that we are, step by step, moving and progressing our businesses forward. So I hope I have given you all something great to think about.